A door is a very common word, a normal word used by people. Door, access. And the definition of a door is that there are two qualities of a door, two characteristics, and due to these two characteristics, it's called a door. The first characteristic is that the door, it is closed. It is closed. Whichever door we see, wherever you go in the world and you see a door, it can be closed. And the other quality or characteristic is that it also opens. It also opens. If the door doesn't open, then it is not a door. Then it is just a sealed place. And everybody will see that it is not open or accessible. So there are two qualities of the door. It opens and it is also closed. And if we see, if we pay attention and focus on this point, that there is no place which doesn't have the ability to close the door. For example, take your house, you close the door, you shut the door, you shut the door, you don't leave the door open. It closes the front door or the back door. You'll see in the youth, your young age, if you came home late, then your mother, she would have closed the door and locked it, sealed it. Why did you come late? And then you have to stay out. It's locked. The door is locked. And whether it rains and it's cold and you can't open the door. And if you come late, you get the punishment. You're outside, the stranger. And then when you get through the custody of your wife, then will come the wife, and the wife will start to ask and punish them. Why did you come late? Okay, out. So the meaning of the door is that the door shuts. It closes or it locks to this extent. Now, for example, this is the house of Allah, and it should stay open. But even now, the masjid, the door closes, locks, and you go, it's locked. And in the night, the masjid has to be locked or closed. So if you want to sit down in the masjid, then after Ishraq, if somebody wants to sit, said, no, we're about to close, lock the door, we need to sleep. Many masjids, you are not able to sit after. In Pakistan as well, you cannot sit. Even in Hindustan, maybe this is the case. In India. So the meaning of what I'm saying, the meaning about the door, is that every door there is closes, shuts and locks. But there is one door that never shuts, never closes, never locks. And that is a unique door. And all of the doors in the world, they shut and are locked, but this door never locks. Whether it's night, whether it's day, whether it's raining, whether it's sunlight bearing down, whether you're late, whether you're quick. All of the doors of the world you will see, they close, they lock, they shut. But this one stays open. Which door is this? Which door is this? Now, this is a great door, a great access point. And that is the door of Tawbah. Repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the door, my door of Tawbah, will never close, will never shut. It has never shut and it has never been taught to shut. Doesn't matter what weather or climate or day or whatever occurs, the door of Tawbah is always open. People are sleeping, Tawbah door is open. Somebody's coming or not coming, the door of Tawbah is open. That door will not close, will not shut until Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He's made this, huh? This situation, this condition of Tawbah. But it's sad that we ourselves are forcing that door shut or have shut it. Allah Ta'ala says that I have not closed the door of Tawbah, but we've closed it ourselves. It's such a door that not only has Allah Ta'ala kept it open, the door of Tawbah, rather Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is waiting. There is any guest of mine coming? What a door. This door is awaiting for the people to get in. Is any guest coming? And not just this, especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected special angels that if any of my guests comes through this door, don't stop him and welcome him or her in such a way that all of the inhabitants of paradise see him or her. And Allah says, be careful on one thing, that beware, how dare you, that you start to dissect this person. Who's this? How comes this person is coming through this door? And you're looking at his amal, his deeds. He's black, he's a sinner. No. Allah Ta'ala says, whoever comes through this door, you cannot stop that person. So my khas, special guest will come. Welcome that individual and welcome him in a nice way. Look at him in a nice way. Introduce him in a nice way, that the whole of paradise should be amazed by looking at the person. Allah Ta'ala says that when my guest comes through this door of Tawbah, because there are many doors of Jannah, aren't there? There are many doors for paradise. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says that I've kept aside one door, the door of Tawbah. Any individual who comes through this door, a woman, a female, a man, Allah Ta'ala says, that's it. I was just waiting for this time, for this moment. And then Allah Ta'ala's happiness sees no limits. Allah Ta'ala, what a guest he will... Imagine the guest that Allah Ta'ala will have, that Allah Ta'ala decorates the whole of paradise. And Allah Ta'ala announces that a very special guest of mine has come today, who I was waiting for a long time. 30 years I was waiting that maybe he will come, maybe he'll come. 40 years I waited. Somebody, 80 years Allah Ta'ala was made to wait by that individual. Maybe there is somebody here, 80 years old. Maybe I'm here in front of you, isn't it? So 80 years old, 90 years old a person. If you say I'm 90 years old, then... what happens? Allah Ta'ala says that 90 years, 100 years, Allah was waiting. But how sad. We don't want to go and meet Allah Ta'ala at that time. We don't want to go to that door. Imagine. Nobody likes to go to this door. We don't desire to go to this door, to knock on this door, to open this door, to go through this door. We don't even think about this door, that it even exists. We don't even think about it. So, and how easy it is to enter through this door of Tawbah, of repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so easy for the Muslims to go through the door of Tawbah. The Bani Israel nation, when they committed a sin, Allah ta'ala one occasion gave a punishment that they have to take the lives of 70,000 people, and only then will their Tawbah, repentance, be accepted. And this was not some minor prophet. This was the qawm of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Kaleem Allah, a great prophet who used to talk to Allah, who was the beloved Nabi of Allah. Allah Ta'ala mentioned him and praised him so much in the Quran. Allah loves him so much. He was a great prophet. But no, Allah Ta'ala said, your nation, their sin, only then will the Tawbah be accepted. That 70,000, you will have to take each other's lives in the darkness. And then your repentance will be accepted. This is not fiction, jackanory, folk tale. This is Quran. Allah has given a big example for this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it's so easy for you to enter through the door of Tawbah. So easy. We cannot imagine. We cannot imagine how easy it is. And even then, insan, the human being, he is in a good situation, has a good status, and the door is so easy and straight into paradise, and as a VIP, very important person, 70, 80 years, 90 years, we have sinned and done criminal actions, crimes and sins. There's no sin that we've left, that we've not practiced, and then we take the visa and go through the door of Tawbah to get forgiveness. No have to take anybody's life, no penalty, no fine, no extremity. No, rather Allah Ta'ala says, I wipe away your sins at the same time. I wipe away the sins and I call the angels again. And Allah, the angels say, Allah, what should we do? Allah Ta'ala says, wipe those sins. And then they come again. Then Allah says, bring them again. And then Allah Ta'ala says, transform all of these sins into good deeds. And that's why Allah is Rahim. He's not just forgiven, because Allah Ta'ala's Rahmah also comes into play. It comes into play. So many opportunities we've been given, so many great days and morning and evening, the morning, the day, the night. We're immersed in sins, and Shaitan tells us, you're not a sinner, you're a good man. You've not done anything bad. You're totally fine. You're pious, you're straightforward. It's not your fault. It wasn't your fault. You were forced to sin. If you didn't sin, you couldn't have lived. And the man sleeps again. Then he gets up the next morning, the same life. Then he follows that routine life, that waste of time. Then he's pushed into the day, influenced by that same lifestyle by Shaitan. And just like we're sitting, everyone has the same style. Waking up, working, running around, doing this and that, X, Y, Z. And there's no time in between that I can think to sit and say, I've got to go through this door of Tawbah. There's not even a split moment in our life that where I stop, put the brakes on and say, that have I been given entry through the door of Tawbah? Repentance? Somebody says, oh, speak about Umrah, speak about Hajj. Oh, why are you telling me to do Tawbah? Wait, I have to do this and that. Oh, let's eat as much as we can. Take all of the money from people and then we'll do Tawbah afterwards. Then we'll see what we have to do. At least once, let's usurp the rights of people. Oh, let me make one house, one property, then I'll do Tawbah. Oh, I've got a plan. Doesn't matter if there's a bit of fraud, then I'll make up for it afterwards. And he carries on. He carries on. My brothers, I am speaking with the pain. This is not a speech. This is not a lecture. Wallah. Wallah, on this musalla, this prayer mat, I am fulfilling the rights of this prayer mat, because on the Day of Judgment, I will be asked that did I speak the haq? And I'm giving a dawah, invitation to the ummah, to the believers. Brothers, don't bypass my words. I'm telling you the truth. Honesty, every single deed will be weighed on the scale of deeds on the Day of Judgment. I'm telling you this. The points come out of my heart. Listen to them carefully, attentively. Carefully and attentively. Cautiously. With focus. Remember this, what I'm saying. This is how we waste our days every day. We get up, and until we sleep, we spend the time, we waste our time. And when we go to sleep in the night, we think we are the most purest of the human beings. We haven't committed any sins. We're so pure, we're angelic. And Allahu Akbar, that my friends, we've committed so many sins, that without tawbah, these sins will not leave us. Without tawbah, without repentance, the sins will not leave our life. That if we don't do tawbah to Allah, we say, oh, I prayed salah, my sins have been forgiven, I did umrah, my sins have been forgiven, and I did other actions and my sins have been forgiven, we did dhikr and my sins are forgiven. Which sins are these? These are saghira sins, minor sins, which have the preparation that Allah Ta'ala says that through your worship actions, the minor sins will be eliminated. But the kabira sins, the major sins, there's a long list. And without tawbah, without the element of tawbah, repentance, those sins will not be removed. We say, oh, I prayed my salah, my sins have gone. Oh, I came to the dhikr gathering, my sins have gone. Oh, I've gone to umrah and come back, my sins have been forgiven. Fine, you've done this. But which sins are forgiven and eliminated? The minor sins, which Allah Ta'ala said they will automatically glow. But the kabira sins list, let me give an example of kabira, big sins, which we think is small. Lying. Lying is a major sin. Looking at the wrong thing with the eyes, utilizing the eyes in the wrong way, is a major sin. To lie, and lying today is like water flowing under the bridge. We haven't got as many sujood, prostrations, as the amount of times we've lied. If we collect all our lies and all our prostrations, lying, the number of lies, the stacks of lies outnumber, my friends. But today, even if, for example, let's say we had more prostration and we did lie, then okay, fair enough, maybe. But we have more lies today than the number of prostrations in our life. Oh, are you at home? No, I'm not home, even though I'm at home. Oh, I came to see you and you weren't at home. Oh, you know, I was somewhere else, even though at that time I was at home. I lie. In our business world, our life, we lie. And all sorts of lies. And not just from the mouth, also from our pens. We write lies. If you're signing incorrectly, it's a lie. If you're submitting incorrect documents, it's a lie. If you're giving the wrong statements, then it's become even more firm and strong. The angels, they're not going to record that deed. We've written it ourselves. If we write a wrong statement, then ourselves we are recording the lie. Forget the angels to record it, we're recording ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's easy to understand. What will happen tomorrow? We're passing our life, and what will happen then? Nothing. We say nothing. I'm fine. What's going to happen? We're going to get punished. Look at the Quran. It states the punishments for the lies, and our person will be thrown into hellfire, and we can't even absorb 1 second of the burning of the heat. Yes, we've got iman, but first we'll be thrown into Jahannam. We don't know how many years we will be in hell, and the fire will purify the sins, and then only will a person get into paradise. But how many years? Centuries. But the door is open. The door at this moment in time is open. The door for repentance. And to enter into that door of repentance, we need to close shut the door of the world, the dunya, and then the door of the tawbah we can go through. But we don't want to close the door of dunya. We don't want to shut the door of dunya. We can't even close it for a moment. We don't want to shut it for a moment. We don't want to lock it for a moment. Brothers, we've got to have courage. We've got to have determination. Think, me, you, how will we be on the Day of Judgment? How we have not done tawbah in our life, how will we survive on that day after we pass away? We haven't prepared. Yes, we prayed salah. I prayed fajr, ishraq maybe. I recited some Quran. I did some tasbihat. I did some other worship actions, and we're doing all of these things. But the most important action, The greatest action, the best action from all of the deeds in the life of a person, the best action, the greatest action is tawbah, repentance. And without tawbah, we cannot attain success. If there was no tawbah, if there was no means or mode or method of tawbah, repentance, if Allah Ta'ala said, no, there's no repentance. If you commit a sin, punishment. Allah is the Malik, Qadir, owner of the universe. He could say, I've created the universe, I've given you everything, your resources, and the angels bowed in front of you. I gave you a great status, respect, dignity, and you were somebody who were worshipping. Look at Shaitan, he was the ibadah. He did ibadah all the time. He was the abid, for which he was expelled from the heaven due to us. He was the abid and the zahid and the alim and the sardar of the angels. He used to educate the teachers. He was the teacher. He used to teach them jurisprudence, fiqh, adab, manners. Tell me, Shaitan, look where he was. But he became wretched and dishonored. For which reason? Say it loudly. Why? Why was Shaitan dishonored? Why did he lose his dignity and his rank and his status? Why are you quiet? Why did he get expelled? Why was he shunned? Why? Due to us, isn't it? That we were created, Allah Ta'ala created us. The whole universe was revolving nicely. Angels were doing their duty. Shaitan was enjoying himself. And he had got the high status. He had his seat and he was in Jannah, eating, drinking, enjoying life. Allah Ta'ala said, okay, now I'm creating the human being, Adam, the son of Adam. Who? These people, us sitting down who commit the crimes in the world. Shaitani actions we do. So Allah Ta'ala said that if I had not created the mode of tawbah, I created you as human beings and made you do sujood, and that all the creation did sujood to you, and if I had said no, if you sin that you're going to get the punishment, that's it, without any chance of forgiveness, what would we have done then? We couldn't answer or argue with Allah. We'd have to accept the status quo. But Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great opportunity and chance. Allah says, I'll open a door for you and I'll keep it open for you all the time. And for who? This ummah, the nation of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's the sadqa, the charity of the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he's given us this ability that we were taught how to do tawbah. It doesn't take a second. It doesn't take a second. What a great amal. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh, I remember an event. Shall I tell you? Shall I share it with you? Have you heard the name of Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh? Then let me tell you the event of the Abu. Sometimes, mashallah, after I've sat in my life in the company of the walis of Allah, elders, then I remember this event has come to my heart and mind now due to the fadl of Allah, Allah's grace. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayh was a great wali of Allah. And Hazrat Rabia Basri rahmatullah alayh lived with him at the same time. And in their day and age, they were the great walis of Allah. Waliya and Wali of Allah. So when, remember, the majlis, the gathering of the Wali of Allah is formed, and the darvesh, the Wali sits, and people come and listen, and they revive their ruh, their soul, and they do dhikr, they nourish their soul, and they listen to the words, and they practice on it. This is the majlis of the Wali of Allah. Every Wali of Allah has a majlis. After Isha, a gathering, after Isha especially, after Tahajjud, after Fajr. This definitely a routine of the Wali of Allah, that definitely you will see that he has a majlis, a gathering in these times, or in one of these times. So his majlis at that time, it started to take place, and he was a Wali of Allah, Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullah, and his heart had been filled with nur, and it was open. If I start to speak about his status and his love for him, then we will go off the on another tangent. So subhanallah, the Quran explains us this as well, the treasures. And Allah Ta'ala explains in the Quran in a verse that la udi'u, that the normal person, the common person, when he does tafsir of the Quran, he looks at the Quran, he will see a different meaning. But when the Wali of Allah does tafsir of the Quran, the pearls come out of the heart to the tip of the tongue, and the people, the scholars and the mufti, they are shocked that where did this point come from? It's the same Quran, because the Quran is such an ocean that it is full and full immersed with the pearls. Yes, full, it depends on our capacity, that how great a diver and a swimmer am I, that if I'm a good swimmer and a diver, if I dive in a good way, I will dive down very low into the ocean and grab the pearls, extract them and bring them out to the surface. So nobody has a right over the Quran. This Quran is not, you can say, contained within a few books, that once the tafsir is done, that's it, there's no more commentary. No, the Quran is not contained within boundaries, because the Quran was revealed to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his heart had no restriction. Alam nashrah laka sadarak. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, alam nashrah laka sadarak. Allah Ta'ala says, what have I done to your heart? Shrah lam nashrah laka sadarak. Allah Ta'ala says, and how much have I expanded your breast? So if Allah Ta'ala expanded the breast of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why did Allah Ta'ala expand his breast? Allah said, I want to insert into your heart the Quran, and there will be no limit to the meaning of the Quran, because Allah Ta'ala wanted the ummah to benefit. And here we see, if we start weighing the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, analyzing it, criticizing it, we can't analyze and criticize the knowledge of a wali of Allah, then how can we reach to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And how can we say that the knowledge had a boundary and had no limit? No, there's no limit. So Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah have mercy on him, he did tafsir. La udriu ajran man ahsana amala. That there's the meaning of this verse that Allah Ta'ala has stated in the Quran, that la udriu ajra, Allah Ta'ala says, I don't waste the reward of a person. Man ahsan amala. That a person who does good deeds. Anybody who does a good deed, Allah Ta'ala says, I don't waste that good deed. Don't worry, do good deeds. Ahsan. Ahsan. And so Hazrat Hassan Basri Ramtali was given tafsir commentary, the meaning of the ahsan, good deeds. And the gathering was formed and people were listening. And when he explained what is ahsan, the good amal, obviously in good deeds is prayer, recitation of Quran, tahajjud. These are all good deeds, aren't they? Very high grade deeds, dhikr Allah. So when Hazrat Hassan Basri Ramtali spoke about ahsan amal, ahsan amal, then وَلَا أُذِيُ أَجْرُ الْأَحْسَنُ الْعَمَلَ. Then the people in the gathering started to become excited in their head. And Hazrat Hassan Basri, they said, let me tell you what is the good deed so we don't miss it. Because it was a gathering of rectification. He said, the ahsan amal is tawbah. The best and greatest deed is tawbah, repentance. Repentance. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? Do you understand? Okay. So when he said this, upon this, Allah Ta'ala gave a guarantee that if somebody does tawbah, repents, Allah says, I don't ever waste their good deed. Allah Ta'ala says, maybe other deeds won't be accepted or due for some reason, but tawbah is always accepted, always accepted. Subhanallah. La udiu ajr. Allah Ta'ala says, man ahsan amala. So the ajr will come, the reward will come. And remember, this is the majma, the gathering of the wali of Allah, and people come and they go and they pass by. And there was an individual sitting there, a young man, in the gathering, and his face turned pale yellow, and he started to tremble and shake. And while he was shaking and trembling, he fell unconscious. And but even though he heard this point that the amal, the action of tawbah, is the greatest deed, and Allah Ta'ala doesn't waste the good deeds, and he fell unconscious, then he came to his consciousness. And this is a common thing in the gathering of the wali of Allah, that the heart, when it opens, and when the beauty of the reality of the words of the deen reach to the heart of a person, then they fall unconscious. They are lost in their situation, in their issues. And it's come to light, their life. And because the people come with an empty heart, with a heart to be filled, they come to listen, to learn for amal. They don't come to play out a drama or to play games. They come to learn, to attain something. So that man, he fell unconscious. And when he came back to consciousness, he after a while saw, and Hazrat Hassan Basri Ramtali put his hand on his forehead and said, Ya Sheikh. That, and he said, Ya Sheikh, the individual, that what you just said, does this occur? Oh Sheikh, Hazrat Hassan Basri Ramtali replied, yes, it does occur. Then he said, will Allah accept my tawbah, my repentance? And he said, yes, Allah will. He replied, yes, Allah will. He said, but I am the worst of the people. I'm so dirty and impure. What fraud of the world have I not committed? In which area, which sector is my sin not included? I've committed all of the excesses and I continue to do so. There's no person who is happy with me. I've taken money from this person, I've done this to this person, I've oppressed this person, I've done dhulam to this person. And first and foremost, he spoke about the human beings, because the biggest dhulam is on people to defraud somebody, to deceive someone, to lie to somebody, to take their money. And he said, in the same way, I used to trick people with the same money. I used to do umrah and hajj, and I used to consume haram and live on haram. I had nothing to my name, nothing. And the fraud I committed, that there was no taste of sin that I had not tasted or experienced, you could say. So do you understand what I'm saying? So this individual said that this is what I am. I am the worst. I have committed crimes. I'm a sinner. And remember, after sinning, a person has nothing to his name. But remember, after tawbah, there are no sins left. He said, is this true what you've said? He said, okay, if this is the case, then I will do a bargain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's lying down. He said, Allah. And then subhanAllah, he took out Hazrat Hassan Basri rahmatullahi from in between. He said, Allah, I address you directly. You know my situation, Allah. You know what situation I'm in, my status. I am the worst. I implemented drama, I lied to people, I deceived, I told people that I have done tawbah, I've repented, but I carried on with the sins just to make a status. So he's speaking to Allah, to make a status in the environment, the society. I always also used to lie and say that I have repented for my sins. And this is a bigger sin, to say that I've repented, and in reality you don't repent. To trick the people of the world that I am pure and I'm clean, and I still commit the sins. Not one inch of difference has come, not a millimeter of difference comes into the life. So he said, I did this, Allah. I deceived people, lied. I said, I've asked for forgiveness. But today from your wali, his words have reached to me and my heart has trembled. Imagine if a person's heart doesn't even shake after hearing the words of the wali, then imagine that person's situation. The Quran explains this. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he said, three things I present to you, Allah. Three things, three signs of my tawbah. Subhanallah. and let's see if my tawbah has been accepted or not. He's saying to Allah, he says, Allah, first I do tawbah, but you, in comparison to this, Allah, repay this tawbah of mine by opening my heart, not so that all the money and the wealth and food can come into my heart. He says, Allah, I'm coming back to you, not for those things. For which thing am I saying this? Allah Ta'ala, open my heart and my mind. Number one, that the thing that is most beloved to you, the Kitab Allah, your book of the Quran, that nobody can reach to the upper limit of the taste of the Quran. Look at the taste and the enjoyment. Only that person can attain the enjoyment of the Quran whose heart is open, because we cannot imagine the limit of the enjoyment of the Quran. People like us, sinners, we read the Quran, maybe tears fall out of our eyes, but those whose hearts have opened up and expanded, imagine the enjoyment and the taste of the Quran they attain. So the first thing he asked for was what? After tawbah, is that Allah, number one, opened up my heart for the Quran to be absorbed. Subhanallah. And Allah Akbar, he said, Allah, that when I read the Quran, I want to feel in the very nice way. Number two, look at what he's asking for. The second, he said, Allah, I request from you, what? That Allah make my voice beautiful, so that when I do your dhikr and I read the Quran, then due to my beautiful voice, many other people do tawbah at the same time, automatically. Imagine this, beautiful. What a great request. I've never heard this before from someone. He said that Allah make my voice so beautiful that when I read your kalam, when I do your dhikr, that people don't just listen, but they hear the beauty of my voice, and due to the beautiful spell in my voice, people run back to your deen and do tawbah. And thirdly, he said, Allah, you know that my rizq was haram. And this is the main point here, brothers, let's listen. He's saying to Allah, because the person whose earnings are haram, his prayers are not accepted, his hajj is not accepted, his umrah is not accepted, his prostration is not accepted. This is an open fact. Open fact, and the hadith is present. So he said, Allah, and he used to do drama and play games. And the third thing he asked for, which is the pinnacle, which is what hinges on our success, he said, Allah, make my earnings lawful and halal and accepted. Do you understand the three things? Do you remember? One is open my heart to absorb the Quran. Secondly, is for me to recite in a beautiful voice. And third, give me halal, lawful earnings, Allah. He said this, and alhamdulillah, he did tawbah. He repented, and now I remember his name. Utbul Ghulam, his name was of the world. He was a very famous wali who passed away. Hazrat Hassan Utbul Ghulam was his name. And he lived at the time of Hazrat Hassan Basri. The three things he attained straight away. Allah gave him the understanding of Quran, that people became amazed when they heard his tafsir, this previous sinner, and his recitation, and dhikr, the way he recited and read, that even the birds would come to join his gathering to listen to his beautiful voice. Such a beautiful effect of his voice that from far and wide people would come and become immersed in his recitation, because Allah had promised. And the third request, halal earnings. And he said himself, I have not realized until today the secret behind this. Every evening a call comes to my door, I don't look, and there's a tray. Every evening there's some curry and a dish and some bread in that dish, in that plate, that I eat it. Allah has started to send that person who did tawbah from heaven, from paradise, the food to eat. Why? Because his tawbah was very valuable. What a tawbah. In Allah Ta'ala's court, there's nothing lacking. There's nothing lacking in Allah Ta'ala's court that Allah Ta'ala has given. This is not something that Allah has given. This is such a great treasure that a man cannot even think. He cannot even think. There's such so many treasures of Allah that a man cannot even think for a moment that what is contained in the treasures of Allah. And if we attain tawbah, this is great for us. And further after that, imagine about the two pieces of bread and the curry that came from paradise, that 24 hours his stomach would be filled and the taste and the enjoyment was on his tongue. Subhanallah, so this was his tawbah, true repentance. And there, what is the tawbah on the other side? Imagine, the previous nations, Allah Ta'ala said, for example, one example of the Bani Israel tribe, that you have to take the lives of 70,000 amongst yourselves, and your repentance will be accepted. And we commit one sin, the ummati of Rasulullah, and he commits one sin and says, Allah, forgive me. And Allah Ta'ala forgives, and Allah says in the Quran, I will not waste your tawbah, your repentance. But what do? We are not the people who understand. We are not those who ask, who receive and accept. We have no way that we want to come out of our issues. Allah says, you pray salah morning, evening. Allah Ta'ala says, come to me. Allah says, save yourself from hellfire. Save yourself from the fire of hell. It is a severe fire. It is intense. And everything will leave us. Nobody will assist us after death. Everything will leave us. Everybody will leave us. Nobody will be with us. Nothing will be with us. We'll be thrown into the hellfire. Today, only one action can save us. Just one action. What is that action? True, honest tawbah. In the presence of Allah, me and you, all of us should do true tawbah and change our lives for the better, my friends. We shouldn't commit drama, excess, play games. We shouldn't fraud and cheat. We should do tawbah in the court of Allah. And a person who does tawbah in the presence of Allah becomes the high, high status person. Very elevated. Remember, and the best thing is that when a person does tawbah and carries on his life with ibadah, salah, hajj, dhikr, and then the color and the form of his ibadah changes. His life changes for the better. Yes, so we should do dua to Allah. That Allah Ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq. Ameen.